Welcome to the Grovecast. The Grovecast is a podcast put together by the pastors of Cedar Grove for the people of Cedar Grove. And I'm Barry Edwards, pastor at Cedar Grove, which we were just talking about before we came on. Most of you that are listening will be members, so you'll kind of know who the group is today, but we'll take a moment here in just a second to introduce one another. But it's the guys are here, and we're looking at a couple topics. Cale Turpin came to me the other day, and we've been kicking around ideas for podcasts for quite some time, kind of get back into the flow of things. And so Cale had, I think, a good idea of a good one to start with here. So I'm going to let him, well, tell you what, now it doesn't matter, but in your mind, we're seated around a really beautiful oak table, surrounded with nice things on the wall, and it's beautifully decorated. And so you just keep that image in your mind, all right? And that's what we're sitting around chatting. To my right is our illustrious associate pastor, David. What's your good word to introduce?
My good word is I'm still conjuring that picture up.
You're still trying to imagine that. All right.
Yeah.
To his right, then, is Cale. And I'll let Cale introduce everything here in just a moment. And then to his right, and the one with all the control, all the power today at the control board, Mr. Jason Brown. And Jason, appreciate very much your work and helping keep this together. All right, so I'm going to pitch it to Cale. Share a little bit, Cale, about what's in your heart and what you felt like we wanted to try to tackle in this first podcast back.
Yeah, so, well, with this being the first episode, this kickoff episode, we're kind of calling it, of this sort of a new season of the Grovecast, which, of course, is a new name anyway, and we've recorded a couple episodes in the past, last fall, but you know, this is a year later. So it's a new season. And this is going to be, we're going to try to stay faithful through fall of 2021 and spring of 2022, and we'll see how it goes. But we've got a couple episodes planned already. But this episode, the first episode, the kickoff, we just wanted to address our current situation. We wanted to give some encouraging words and, you know, say some prayers over not only ourselves, obviously, but our whole congregation and the families extending from our congregation, and just share what the Lord has to say about times like these. So what with COVID affecting us very greatly here recently with the loss of two members and a lot more going on, not just with COVID, but with all sorts of things, unrelated even. It's just made this summer of 2021 very difficult in particular.
Right, and it's been very difficult for lots of different people. So if you're tuning in and you know, you may be one of the folks that have had a really tough time or lost somebody very near to you, whether it be a family member outside of our area or whatever. But of course, we've lost, as Cale said, a couple of our members here this spring, basically within about a week and a half of one another, I think. We lost one last fall as well. And our area, of course, has gone through this second round. It seems to be pretty tough. But so I think part of what, and you kind of correct me if I'm wrong in your interpretation, but I think part of it is I think Cale just feels a need for us to just encourage one another, uplift one another. It's kind of one of those moments, okay, we're going to get through this, but it's going to be a little different on the other side. And so we are even talking about as staff about, you know, what does Cedar Grove look like on the other side of this when and if that happens? Because there's no doubt that we are facing challenges just like every other church. You're not going to walk through this unscathed. And so some of the uncertainty with scheduled times and service times and all that has made it a little bit difficult to have consistency and planning. And so I think just a word of encouragement to one another and to our church family. So we want to try to give you some concrete verses, examples, information that I hope will be helpful just as we all process all this together and to just continue to be faithful. And I think one more thing, and then Cale, I'll let you go back. When you're saying for us to be faithful to the podcast, we're probably not going to come up with, we're not doing a podcast every day. Every couple of weeks, I think, is what we typically have tried to do. And then that way, kind of get on a little bit of a rhythm there as well. And it's a format that allows you to listen in your car or do something, you know, else while you're listening. And so we hope that we can put together a few things here today that will encourage you as a listener and help you encourage someone else as well. All right. So, Cale, go ahead. I'll let you take it away, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to share with you guys, our family, the words of Paul found in Colossians. So if you've got a Bible, then you can go ahead and turn to chapter 1 of Colossians, starting in verse 15. And if not, then that's perfectly fine. You can still listen and be encouraged by these words. To set the tone, here's Paul saying in Colossians, talking about Jesus of Nazareth, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister." And this is just an example of Paul proclaiming the excellencies of Christ, as Peter puts it. And I wanted to remind you guys, remind all of us, including myself, that Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, is the Son of God, and he is the Christ. He is the Messiah, the Savior, the God-man, and the King over all creation. And we are in submission to him, especially as the church. So, folks, I just want to remind you that he is above it all. He is higher than it all. And I can't tell you how many times I've read just in the past, just this morning, how many times I read that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And that's found in a lot of places in the New Testament. And I think that has so many implications in the way of knowing he is God. He is an authority. And he has power over all things. So, folks, whenever we are meeting with trouble, whether it's persecution or death or sadness or strains in relationships or whatever it is, none of it's little and none of it's easy. But Jesus, through his Spirit, gives us the strength to overcome all of that. Let me pray for you. Father, we see that Paul held Jesus of Nazareth to be your Son, the Christ Savior who is over all creation in authority and in importance and in holiness. Let that knowledge remain preeminent in all our minds, and let it influence every decision we make, and every action we take, the words we speak, and the thoughts we dwell upon. And may the excellencies of your Son be proclaimed and imitated through all your people. Amen.
Well, thank you, Cale. You know, and as you're reading that and just focusing on Christ, you know, there's a lot of conversations people are having. Of course, I think of the immortal words of Shakespeare, which really speaks to our times: to be vaccinated or not be vaccinated. And so these discussions have just, you know, rankled through society, through churches, and all those kinds of things. You know, I can't tell you all the information or the facts and the figures and stuff that you need to know. But what can we tell you about the imminence of Christ, and about the power of Christ, about the authority of Christ? And that's where the believers must stay focused.
All right. Well, and that is our only hope. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's it's through him. You know, Cale asked that I come up with a they said I'm too far away. Cale asked that I come up with a scripture passage, and You know, I preached on Melchizedek here a while back, and I'm not going to bore you with that again. I'm just, but there was a follow-up message that came to my heart after that, and it was based on Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, and it simply says, "The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The key is that through Christ Jesus and with Christ as Lord, with Christ as Savior, with His preeminence in our life, that's the only way that peace is going to come. It's a peace that doesn't depend on your circumstance. It doesn't depend on your health. It doesn't depend on your wealth. It doesn't depend on anything except your reliance and obedience on Christ. And, you know, right now we're all looking for that peace. You know, we got COVID, we got Afghanistan, we got health issues, we got wealth issues, we got all of that. I obviously COVID is different than it's been in the past, but when I was a kid, was polio.
25 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, at least that, yeah. It was polio. Yeah. It was smallpox. It was, you know, it was Vietnam. It was, when I was born, the day I was born, the headlines of the New York Times, the whole front page, was dedicated to the Korean conflict. And so, guys, what we're experiencing, the feelings that we're experiencing aren't new at all. They're in every life, in every age. And do we have more questions than answers? Obviously. But if we're looking for peace, that's not going to be the absence of conflict. Peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is resting in the presence of Christ.
Right. I was a little worried there. I thought you were going to say that the New York Times headlines was your birth.
Yeah.
But no.
No. But okay. No. And the reason I know that is because in college I had an assignment that required me to read that page.
Yeah. So. I really appreciate the perspective, though, David, because I get kind of frustrated sometimes with all the stuff that we hear about all the stuff that's going on. Doesn't matter what generation, there's always stuff going on.
Yep.
And I think sometimes we forget that. Of course, preaching from Ecclesiastes. So there are several lines in Ecclesiastes that really, I think, echo what you're saying. One, nothing new under the sun.
Yep.
I mean, there's been war, there's been disease, there's been famine, there's been those things before.
Yep.
Generations have had to live through those, and we forget that. But on the other hand, just because it's happened before doesn't mean we don't
it's
say
very
that.
Real.
Right, it's very real. Now, if we don't say that to lessen the fact that there is pain and suffering and difficulty, I can't even imagine the people, you know, so much of what's going on in Afghanistan compared to Vietnam and all that kind of stuff. And the people who remember those headlines and scenes, I'm sure there's tremendous flashbacks to all of that.
When we was watching the video of the chaos in Afghanistan, in Kabul, was very remindful of me, of seeing the video of when we left Vietnam. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what I get frustrated with is so much argument then, which was worse, which, who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, they're both bad, and it's difficult. And I think, again, it's unlifting the veil of what the situation is really like in many parts of our world with there's just the lack of stability, the things that are going to happen in Afghanistan now. So those are just issues that we're confronted with that remind us we live in a very broken world. How do we navigate that? We come back to what Cale started with, the power, the strength, the evidence of Christ.
That's the only peace and hope that you have in any generation or any age is Christ.
Okay.
I didn't come the most prepared because I had so many things running through my mind, partly just because, I'm currently reading a book called Gentle and Lowly. It was really highly rated last year, so I kind of had it on my list. And then I got an email from Crossway saying, we want to send 60 copies out to different, whoever wants it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, even if no one else reads it, I will. So I got 60 free copies for the church.
So does that mean you're going to have to read each copy one time?
No. So hopefully those will get used. But I have found it so rich. It just examines Christ in all ways. And you know, it takes from, you know, especially I'm gentle and lowly in heart, but it kind of examines Christ in all the aspects. So, you know, one thing is that we say he's the high priest or that he's reigning sovereign above all. But the thing that we can never forget is that he experienced life the way that we do. Mm-hmm. He experienced all our sorrows. And in fact, you would think from his experience being so ultimately betrayed, that he would resent us, and especially mm-hmm. resent us in every time, you know, every time that we sin or we look away or despair. But know that he, draws closer. One of the descriptions in the book is like, that the description of how he's slow to anger. But the opposite of that is how easily that he's prodded to love, that he's very quick to love, that in fact, that it's just, overflowing with abundance to draw near us. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted hears the brokenhearted and is near to the crushed in spirit. And that's just, it's so delightful to know that. The other thing I was just thinking about is first of all, it's very easy. It's sometimes being a pastor, like the pressure is to always be okay, because we do want to be steady. Mm-hmm. It's our job to be sure and steady. But we do have, you know, we do have despair, and we also do need to be with you. And that's the thing, is that it's important to you, for you to know that we're grieving with you. We are sorting this out with you. You know, I would say one of the biggest obstacles for us has just been, it's just so hard to plan one, you know, beyond mm-hmm. 1 week.
Right.
It's been, you know, that's been incredibly frustrating. It hasn't been the worst part, but that's just really hard. The other thing, I hope I'm not jumping around too much, but I think so much when looking to Christ, or at least looking to Christians, can fail is when we give platitudes or blanket answers, or, you know, I'll see, and I don't want to knock this, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. But when you see someone post a verse with a pretty background, and it's just a very like simple verse, now that is a good thing. But I think that sometimes we come to the Bible or even to church for that dopamine hit, that quick high, and there is something so much more deeper to be found, and it is the reality. If we're going for that dopamine hit, it just doesn't last, because, you know, you look at Paul and how he, you know, he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he talks about being in Asia, and he said, we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we believed we had received the sentence of death, but this was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. David, you know, David says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? But then he preaches to himself, and I don't think he instantly felt better, but he says, hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation. I don't know if he's saying that in the moment, like, I am praising him now, but he says, I will. Mm-hmm. Those are just, I hope I wasn't too scatterbrained, but those are just the thoughts that have been, that I've been going through recently.
Well, thank you, Jason. And there's a lot. I don't know if you can hit rewind on a podcast or not, but he did touch on several really important things. So, one, the book, Gentle and Lowly. Now, we don't get any commission by hawking this book, I don't think, do we?
No.
No, okay. So we're not, but you did hear him correct. We got 60 copies of the book. So I think it's a situation, if you say that, man, that book sounds interesting, might be helpful. It's one of the ways you can feed your mind to have the peace of Christ, to understand more of Christ. So, you know, check with us, get with Jason, say, man, I'd like to have a copy of that book. And when, you know, now if 300 people say they want a copy, we're in trouble.
But we'll have to share.
But we'll have to share.
It's one that had, it kind of had a lot of, I mean, I'm sure most people haven't heard of it, but it had hype in the, you know, it was like book of the year. And I always look at that and I, you know, just like well-known people were like tweeting about it, how good it is. And it's an instant classic. And it's one there where, so I kind of started a little skeptical, like, well, I just don't want to be disappointed. And, you know, about three or four chapters in, I was just like, oh no, this is just so rich. It's terrific.
Yeah. So very important. Great way to feed your mind. The other thing that Jason brought out about as pastors that we do, you know, we weep with those who weep, you know, we laugh with those who laugh, mourn with those who mourn. And I got a phone call. Well, I got two or three phone calls pretty much in the same day, I think, within a day or two, just from our church members who were encouraging me. And you know, because we've been dealing with loss and such. And it is a unique challenge for a pastor on how do you you want to show that emotion and that connection with people and that you care genuinely in that. At the same time, you have to be a little careful you don't overwhelm yourself with so much grief and so much pain. And so finding that balance. So sometimes I've had people ask me, how do you pray for your pastor? And that might be a good way to pray. It's just that we have the right balance in you know, the being able to connect and empathize and such, but not become paralyzed by that. And I think the same thing is true for church members, because I know several of our members have grieved so much for their friends and the loss of their friends' spouses and things like that. But that grief can't bring us to a point of being paralyzed, but it's still very important to go through there.
But not just the loss, but some of the physical suffering from, you know, mm-hmm. from medical issues that some are dealing with. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, I got one of those phone calls myself, and man, it feels good.
It's cool. Yeah, I just really, really appreciate that.
Yep.
So, Kale, I'm really curious, and I don't even know if you can answer this, but I don't want to belabor the point, but David's been in ministry much, much longer than any of us. I mean, gosh, it's just not even close. And I'm saying that a little bit sarcastically,
so David's actually helping me with my youth ministry practicum.
Okay. I love it. I want people to hear. Say that again. You're taking a class in youth ministry.
Yeah, it's a practicum class, and so I have to have a field supervisor.
Okay.
And David is helping me out.
Yeah. Now, why is David helping you? Now, not because just he's on staff, but what did David used to do?
Well, he was a youth minister at one point.
Yeah.
And he was over some youth ministers. But on the qualification sheet that he filled out for me, he checked one box, and you filled this out, so you know kind of what it looks like a little bit, and for Drew, I guess. But you can check all that apply. And one of them is like, you have a master's degree and you've been in the ministry for at least 5 years. And then there's another one's like bachelor's degree and 10 years of ministry experience. And then it's like no degree and 20 years. It's like if you have or at least this degree and then 20 years. And so I went ahead and checked those bottom three boxes. I'm like, I'm pretty sure he's been there.
Yeah. So but part of my question to you, though, and I love that you have the opportunity to meet with David, because I've heard a lot of his stories and stuff. It's going to be great. You'll have a great time in that.
Yes.
Just your perspective of the ministry. In other words, you're coming into this. And oddly enough, since you've been in ministry, COVID is all you've known. I mean, every aspect of your ministry so far has been somehow related or touched by COVID. Mm-hmm. So I'm really curious about how that's going to end up shaping your view of ministry. and thinking about how do you care for your people and things like that, as opposed to if you just came into a normal, well, if you came
quote,
to see,
normal.
Yeah, if you came to Cedar Grove, it wasn't a normal situation anyway. But well, anyway,
what you were saying at the beginning of the podcast got me thinking on this already, and that's, well, we're thinking about what church will be like again after COVID on the other side of this, but I haven't known either side of it really. I mean, I've obviously been in church
before
during my life, but I haven't really been a part of Cedar Grove before COVID. And so whenever I joined in May of 2020, that's, well, like you said, all I've known is COVID. So I, right now I'm just kind of thinking, well, what do we do right now? Because I don't know, what if there isn't another side? And I know that a lot of people have been kind of thinking that way lately, because it's just dragged on for so long, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better right now. You know, and that's why right now, as we're in the trenches of it, you know, our prayer is that our people can be in the trenches but still have that eternal hope in Christ. And for me right now in the ministry, my hope and prayer for our church, our congregation, and our families especially, since that's my, you know, my focus, the hope and prayer is that we can look to Him even during this seemingly dark time. Mm-hmm. Well, and not seemingly, it is dark. It is definitely a valley that we are going through right now. So, you know, I'm not, I guess, to answer your question, I'm not thinking so much about the other side. I'm thinking about right now.
Right now, sure.
And I know that's where a lot of people are at right now. And like Jason said, you know, we can't hardly plan a week out.
Yeah. You know, as he was saying that, I kind of thought to myself, is that really a bad thing? Mm-hmm. You know, because we've gotten so used to making plans. I mean, typically in July, I get a calendar for the next year. Right. And start filling in things on that calendar for the next year. Well, haven't done that.
I used to carry 5 years' worth.
Oh, 5 years?
I've cut back to three.
Oh my goodness.
And now I'm back to two. I feel relieved.
Man, you know. And I wonder if there is a lesson in that, though, in that sometimes we get caught up in the planning, we get caught up in those kinds of things. And I don't know. Do you think Paul had a 5-year planning calendar?
I don't know, but he probably wasn't trying to get people to come in to help with ministry that are as busy as some are that I tried to get
to come in. Yeah.
Well, he did plan on going to Spain.
Yeah, there's no doubt they made plans and stuff, but I have a feeling they didn't have Franklin planners and all those kinds of things to, you know, write it all out. But so maybe there's something in that we can learn through, okay, let's kind of take it a little bit week by week. And it is frustrating, but I don't know that that's all completely bad in that. Mm. Did you have another passage that you wanted to look at?
Well, I was just reminded of, I think it's in James. I couldn't find it. I cannot remember for the life of me what verse it is.
Oh, I think
but I think it's in James.
I think I already know what you're going to.
Don't say, we'll go up to town and do this or that, but we say, you know, if the Lord wills it, then we'll do this or that.
Okay, so awesome that you brought that. And the reason I knew what verse you're going to is because Ecclesiastes is actually going to lead us to that verse in James Sunday. Now, if you listen to this podcast after, which most of you, I guess it'll be after the fact by the time you hear this podcast. So if you are in church or hear the sermon, Cale is not bringing that up because he heard the sermon. He was just bringing that up because it came to mind.
Yeah, it's
it
just
very
prophecy.
Much has bear. Yeah, very much has to bear, I think, on how we maybe need to change a little bit how we look at life in general.
So. Yeah, as long as I think it's a good thing, just so long as it, you know, helps us with our urgency. You know, as long as it doesn't drive us to be more slothful,
right?
But to, accentuate our urgency.
Yeah.
In the Lord.
Let's address one other issue before we wrap it up real quickly. Of course, one of the issues with all this is, many people have felt isolated. It separates us. We've got several that just, you know, it's just not the time to get back into crowds and stuff. So, wanted just to think a little bit about the importance of the church body. keeping our eyes open to people that need a call, you know, that need contact, need email. And at this stage of the game, most of them can't even take a visit. It's just they don't want to be around crowds and stuff. So I think that that's been a very difficult aspect of all of this for so many. People that deal with anxiousness anyway, under normal circumstances, this has heightened that type of thing. So I think it's very important that we don't forget about those that we haven't seen in a while. We need to reach out. And that's not just us as staff. That is the church body. That there's just a clarion call to the church body to reach out and to seek people in that kind of situation. Okay. Anybody else got another one? And then, because there's one final thing I want to close up with. But Kale, if you got anything special that you wanted to end with, I can say my deal, and then you can end it, or I can just end it. Either way.
I think I got out all I wanted. Well, not all I wanted to say, but you know, this whole podcast is. Or this episode especially is, the whole point of it is to give the most important thing to our people
right.
for this moment.
Okay. And so, that is Christ.
Absolutely.
That is Christ. Okay. Yeah. Can you find, okay, so here's what I want to just say to our folk or anybody that's listening. Okay, one of the things that robs our joy or our peace is if we get caught up in all the divisiveness that this brings. And I know that everybody wants to share their viewpoint and thinks they understand what's real and what's not. Okay, so we got one group of people that's like, we just need to get on with life as normal. Well, that's easy to say if you're not touched by it, okay? On the other hand, there are some people that have just become paralyzed by it. They're fearful to do anything, and I don't think that's the right response either. So one of the things that I just encourage strongly that I think will make you feel better, particularly if you're drawn to one side or the other, is don't watch any more news or read any more articles than you do scripture. I mean, if you just use that balancing point, if you watch an hour of news at night, you better be reading an hour of scripture to balance that. Now, what I'd really recommend to you is cut your news down to about 5 minutes and read scripture for an hour.
Amen.
You know, get the balance the other way. And because it's hard for the scripture that David read, the peace of Christ to rule over your hearts, if you're constantly feeding yourself with stuff that doesn't have anything to do with Christ. And I know that there is this sense of empowerment that people have that we can really change things by posting it on Facebook or thinking about it or talking about it with everybody we meet at Walmart. You're not going to change it one way or the other. You're not going to turn the tide with your opinion. So let's encourage one another by pointing ourselves to scripture, to God's word, to Christ, because that's ultimately, he is ultimately the one in control of that. And I think you'll be tons happier. I really do. Yeah. You'll feel guilty for not reading and getting. So what? You should feel maybe more guilty because you're not spending time in the word. So that's, I guess that's my final word, is balance everything with Christ and with scripture and God's word. And as a matter of fact, tip the scale in the favor of God's word. And I think you'll be a lot happier, have a lot better outlook no matter what is going on. Yep. So that's my 2 cents worth, except due to inflation, it's up to 6 cents now. So that's my 6 cents worth. Okay. Whatever that means. All right. Kale, thank you for the idea. And
thank you guys for being a part of it.
And we will continue to, like we say, we've got some ideas then of some very practical and important things, I think, to talk about in our podcast, and we're going to try to do that about every 2 weeks, release a new one.
Yeah.
And then I would encourage you, if you have a concept or an idea that you would like for us to tackle or unpack, let us know, because we're looking for, and I'm not saying that we will use everybody's ideas, but we will consider everybody's ideas, absolutely. All right? Okay. Well, guys, that'll wrap it up for this episode of the Grovecast. Thanks for listening.